RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Abel Jr.
Welcome back, and we're going to give you something to put on your eye that'll really make you think. People always wonder about contact lenses and what to do if you really can't wear a contact lens. Well, that group of people is really very few when you come to a guy like Paul Kuhl, who is the second generation of contact lens specialist, who is adapted to all kinds of materials and is one of the East Coast best fitters of any cornea going. And Paul has been a contact lens specialist since 72 and has formerly been on the board of directors of the Contact Lens Society of America for 9 years. He is a wizard, and he takes care of all of my problems when the corneal irregularity is the problem. So, Paul, welcome, and tell us a little bit about your most extraordinary contact lens practice.
Well, good morning, first of all, to you, Dr. Abel, and to your listeners. I feel fortunate in that I was given, a blessing from my father, who was, I consider, a pioneer in the field. Started in the contact lens business back in the late 49 and early 1950s. I had the benefit of watching, even as a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, etc., in his office in Wilmington, North Wilmington. And as you know, being a pioneer and the child of a pioneer, you kind of learn things by the seat of your pants. So I feel that I've been blessed in this having this. Fortunately, it's been an excellent contact lens practice. We've had great relationships with ophthalmologists and optometrists and the patients over all the years, but we've watched. Technology has changed from the time back in the 50s and 60s and even the early 70s, where everything that was utilized, the materials that we had available to us, was starting out with PMMA, methyl methacrylate, for what were considered the old hard lenses that were designed with basically molds of the eye, and then the lens actually created by the contact lens technician. So that's where it all began, and a lot of that was indeed trial and error because we didn't have all the tools back then that we have here in 2016. I believe that from the 60s we went into the early 70s, when soft lenses were first developed after they came over from Europe. That was, a time when that was experimental. We didn't know how to take care of them. We didn't know how to sterilize them properly. So there were problems with soft lenses, and then that has evolved into increasing numbers of materials from which lenses are made, different polymers. Different sterilization techniques, different drops that are used to help people with dry eyes.
How do you get to the tough fit? How do you analyze keratoconus, a post-cornea transplant? And from all of this history of experience, what do you do? How do you make that possible where so many others in my field have failed?
Well, the first thing, when patients come in, and many of them are people who have unfortunately failed elsewhere or been told that you can't be helped, the initial maybe incoming information may provide us with data related to the shape of their eye, obviously a prescription of sorts, especially if it's an irregularly shaped cornea. So we're looking at topography, keratometry, meaning the shape of the eye, looking at even the lid tissue, evaluating whether we can use the words droopy lids. We utilize the tools that are available to us with fluorescein dye, microscope. So we take an initial look at the eye and any incoming information. And in many instances, soft lenses have been utilized even in these cases with keratoconus, irregularly shaped eyes, and they don't provide the kind of vision. So after we have the initial data, then by utilizing a diagnostic lens, a lens that has a known curve, a known diameter, we want to drape over this irregular shape and make sure the lens isn't moving too much, that it's providing adequate clearance on the cornea. And then from then, we can fine-tune that information and provide the final lens, which then hopefully brings the patient back to what is the best possible vision and the most comfortable and the safest for the person's cornea.
Right. You know, sometimes you even use multiple lenses, piggyback. Sometimes you use glasses over top. And the fact is your success rate is so much higher than ordinary people by dint of your personality and the fact that you encourage people to be compliant, where otherwise they say, oh, I can't do this. And the eye doctor says, okay, you don't have to. And that's the end of the trial period, where is you are able to eke out a lot more, wouldn't you say?
Well, I believe that the fact that we only do contact lens work, and I think this is where, compared to a lot of my friends and colleagues, not only locally but around the country, is that many times the contact lens practitioner is doing maybe helping with glasses, doing some parts of eye exams, and 100% of our day has always been, or in my case in 72, 100% of the day is contact lenses. So we're specifically oriented to listening to what the patient is sharing with us and then monitoring that from day one. So part of it's just holding their hand through the process and making sure that they are monitored properly and are they using the correct solutions. Are they wearing the lenses the proper amount of time? So a lot of that is just patient compliance comes from practitioner efforts and being there for them 100% of the time, including,
you know, it's interesting,
weekends and nighttime.
A lot of people buy their contact lenses on 800 numbers and have no follow-up. And in a sense that with you, there's ample follow-up between you and the referring eye doctor. And we have a love-hate relationship with bugs, viruses, bacteria, infections. And yet we can use a contact lens safely with antibiotics, or we have to be careful. So your close relationship with doctors is kind of another critical component that makes you remain the specialist and on top of this.
Well, and it's all teamwork. If the physician, the referring physician, the patient, and contact lens practitioner are all on the same page. And many times we communicate, the follow-up that we provide specifically, calling patients a week later. Sometimes we're on the phone with these people on the weekends, and it's they know that they're being cared for, and it helps us to keep them safe and comfortable and, you know, solve the problems for which they came to us in the first place. So it comes down to personal care that we share.
We have 30 seconds. Can you tell people how they can get in touch with you? Because they may not know that you cover New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, parts of Maryland, because people flock to you. How can they get in touch with you,
Paul?
Well,
we've been very fortunate. Well, telephone number, area code 302-475-1000. We have a web page, www.kuwal.com. We have actually a somewhat unused Facebook page because I don't monitor as closely as I should, but that's actually going to change. We're going to have someone take care of that for us.
That's great. You are the greatest, Paul, and so grateful for what you do. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, go to my show page at RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening.